Oh, that's mean.
I'm censoring.
Am I with my mic up like this?
Yeah. No, your breakfast burrito is just like you say. It's like blurring out because you got your blurred background going on. So it looks like it's like a porn. And you're blurring out a big dong. You're shoving it in your mouth. Don't joke, buddy. Literally, your hand is not blurred out, but your burrito is. Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's good.
It's fantastic. Oh. Oh. Yeah, I'm gonna cut all that out, so don't worry about it. That'll probably just be the thumbnail.
Sense.
We'll call it turkey trauma. Something. I don't know. Well,
Did you see any
while you're
birds this morning?
waiting, what's that?
Did you see any birds this morning?
No, which is rare. And see, I made a really pretty short loop. It's rare, but it's also good. I didn't see any cars. There was nobody else out hunting. So
Oh,
maybe
man.
Mondays are the day to go.
Dude, that's where, like, that was my thought. It was like, I bet you at this point everyone's like, yeah, I either got one or I didn't get one.
Yeah, and then you
They
got
would have
Monday,
taken
Tuesday
time
kind of
off
by
work.
yourself.
Right. If they would have taken time off work, it probably would have been Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. So they're
Yeah.
probably, I mean,
Right. Yeah. I
maybe
mean, I
there'd be
killed
some
mine on
people out in the
Tuesday.
afternoons, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And there was no one out. I mean, well, I didn't really go far. I checked one parking lot. So, but I didn't, I mean, I wouldn't have expected there to be anybody out. I did see one guy on, I think it was like Friday night. No, it was Sunday night. I went out Sunday night, and there was one guy like scoping birds. He's a kid. I should say a kid. He's probably in his low 20s, and he was scoping birds from his truck. And I was like, "Hey, you got a tag?" And he was like, "No, I'm just looking for my buddy." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And I looked back. I looked over at what he was looking at. I was like, "Yeah, those birds are there like every day on private, and they don't come over." I was like, if you're thinking about hunting that little corner up there for public, like you're gonna be sitting there for 4 hours and you might get a crack. I was like, ah, I've done it
Yeah, you'll
before. I'm sure you have
kill him
too.
with your ass. You gotta just be patient as hell and hope for the best,
Right?
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a terrible, terrible spot.
Yeah.
I hate it, but it's so tempting every time because
Right?
they're right
It's like,
there.
maybe I can sweet talk one over here out of this flock of 10 different hens. It's
Yeah.
like,
No,
nah, bro, no.
I know I'm not gonna be able to sweet talk them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry for the
It's
little
okay.
interruption there.
You're
I am
good. You're good.
all
How's
set
that
now.
big old stuffed burrito?
Oh my God, it was so good, dude.
Okay.
Did up some bluegill on I think it was Friday. No, Saturday night. Had some leftover bluegill.
Oh, really? With eggs and
Oh yeah.
cheese?
Oh
Ooh,
yeah.
it's interesting. You get them out of the
Money.
pond behind the house there?
Oh yeah, baby. They're in there
Dude,
thick right now.
there is. All right, well, I'll bring Charlie over pretty soon here then.
Yeah, for sure.
There is. I'm not kidding you. The guy up the street from me has a boat. It's called the Gill Getter. I've been trying to take Snapchats of it without him seeing me do it. It fits
Yeah.
the boat and the trailer fit in his regular garage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how big it is.
Okay, yeah.
It could probably hold you, and it would be maxed out with your family. It is.
It like
Got like a
John
little.
Boat style?
Oh, dude, it's, I bet you it's 12 feet long and it's two 12 foot tunes. It's probably like 5 feet wide. It's got a center console with a chair, and then it's, that's it. And it's got a gate. It's got a gate all the way around it. But that's it, dude.
Oh,
I was like, man, that looks like, it's basically, you know, when we were kids, I had that paddle boat on the lake.
yeah.
It's basically a paddle boat, but it's got an engine
Oh,
and there are
yeah.
tunes. Like, that's the size of it.
Wait, it's got like a gas motor?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's got a little
That's
like
impressive.
15 horse or 10 horse on it. Yeah, I'm trying to, and
Nice.
it's literally painted on the side, says Gill Getter. I'm like, it is the perfect boat for a 70-year-old man to just like putz around in. I'm surprised it doesn't have a bimini top to it.
Yeah,
Maybe it's not.
exactly.
Yeah. You can see Rod and Powell tipping it. That's that small.
Oh, nice. Dude, we got our neighbor gave us a little boat. It's like a it's plastic, but it's like a double. It's got two pontoons like that. And it's got
Nice.
a dude like brand new 55 pound thrust trolling motor. I was like,
Really?
even if I did scrap that boat, I will take that trolling motor off your hands. Yeah, they gave us one of those and then a little paddle boat four-seater. I was like, oh, this would be perfect for the
That's
kid.
sweet. They
Yeah.
just didn't want it.
Yeah, he's got one of those like 12 or 14 foot pontoons now. So he's like, dude, it's literally just taking up space in my garage. I was like,
Here you go.
okay.
Nice. Yeah, dude. Good little afternoon paddling
Yeah.
around for
Exactly,
sure.
exactly. Yeah, we just gotta get a big old battery to put in that little boat, but
Yeah,
I'm gonna
that makes
get her
sense.
out here pretty soon.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Stop tiddlying around. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Deer Vein Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Heller. Today we got Parker Wash on, and we are doing, what is this? The second, it's the end of the second week in Wisconsin, and it is a turkey update. Both of us have got turkeys, both of us have messed up on turkeys, and we're just walking through some of these pros and cons, I would say. Like, I know I botched one real hard. I probably botched two. I botched two of them. One of them was not, I did everything right. The bird just didn't do what I wanted it to do. But anyway, and then I ended up killing one, but you just killed one this morning. So let's start there.
Sure, you want to hear the whole season recap here?
Yeah, well, yeah, we could, yeah, let's do that. Let's start with your, so in Wisconsin, for everybody listening, you get weeks. You get to get you get a, you buy a license for a week. And the weeks are denoted in season A, B, C, D, E, and F. You get one license for that week, and it's Wednesday to Tuesday. And you can hunt basically all day. And then at the end of that, when you get to the Tuesday, if you don't fill your tag, like, you're done. And then basically everybody in December applies for all these weeks, A, B, C, D, E, and F. And then and naturally everybody wants A or B or C. And then all the leftover tags, so like say and they're divvied up into zones as well across the state of Wisconsin. So you have zone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you have weeks A, B, C within those zones, and then there's a tag allotment for each zone. So like I believe I'm in, I always get it messed up, but I'm pretty sure I'm in zone 2, which is like Milwaukee, Green Bay, right? Yeah, because you're zone 1. So zone 1 has the most amount of birds, and it has like 60,000 tags allocated for it. I think it's like something like that. And after they do the application, in Parker's area in zone 1, they usually get like 27,000 applicants. So then that means there's 33,000 leftover tags. So after you do your first application, basically weeks A, B, and C are gone, and then you get D, E, and F are all leftover tags, and you can buy one a day until they're sold out. Which basically, in like Parker's zone, you can almost get like unlimited tags. Like, you can get like 10 tags if you feel like it. If you just buy one a day, you just keep going. But they're all going to be for D, E, and F. That's a lot of turkey hunting.
D sells out fairly quick too, but E and F
Okay, yeah.
usually
So,
stays for sale for a while.
Yeah, so then you got E and F, and like in my zone, which includes Milwaukee and Green Bay and half of Madison, you get the opportunity. Basically, E sells out right away, and then you get like then you get F, and F is around for maybe a few weeks, and then that's sold out. So just because there's a lot more turkey, a lot more people over here. But anyway, so I had A. I applied for A. I got A this year, and Parker applied for B, and he got B, right? Yeah. Why didn't you apply for A?
Dude, I don't know. These past few years, A is so hit or miss. We're like, we get 6 inches of snow, or it's still like cold as hell, and it's not greened up really at all. So like your
Right.
cover is just a lot more limited. But now I'm I don't know. I like hunting in A because if you get a bird fired up, like it's usually pretty sure thing. But like it's just hot, like the weather aspect is
Yeah.
just can be difficult. And like week two isn't that much better, but typically like we're out of the snow phase at least. So it's like
Right.
you might still be in like 40, 50 degree temperatures, but at least it's not like a foot of snow on the ground, which this
Yeah.
year we didn't have that anyways. So week one would have been a good week, but
Week
yeah, I don't
one,
know.
yeah. So it starts the 17th. It goes from the 17th of April to the 23rd of April, and week two is the 24th of April to the 30th of April. Yeah. And I would say, like, yeah, week one, it's way greener than it has been in a long time. Like, I mean, I have E and F, and I'm like already preparing for the poison ivy.
Oh,
Like,
dude, yeah.
it's
And the
gonna be
ticks,
green.
we've had ticks out since February, and like they're just nasty this year. So it's like
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's gonna be like once the grass is, 2 feet tall or whatever.
I
It's
know.
gonna be bad.
I'm going turkey hunting with Jake Daly, and I think I'm going with Nick, and I'm going with Eric Clark from Okayest Hunter in like that time frame. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can put them on birds without going through poison ivy.
Just fully glove up, tuck your sleeves into
I
your gloves and
know.
all that
I feel like I'm just gonna,
shit.
but it's nice because there's so much cover that you can move around a lot. But yeah, it's just gonna be, it'll be interesting. That's for sure. I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna sit here. You creep through that stuff and get up into
I'll
here.
stay back and call, yeah.
Right, yeah.
No,
Yeah.
I got a week four tag for around here as well, and then Brenda, my wife, has week three. So
Okay.
she's gonna try to get out a little bit
Yeah.
here this coming week, but I think she's gonna be going solo because I'll have the kids, so she's never
Yeah.
turkey hunted solo, so we'll see how that goes. But
Good
dude, there's a lot of
for
birds
her.
around, so yeah, hopefully she could just get set up on something.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a good learning experience.
Oh,
Like,
this is the best way, right? Go fall on
right?
your face a couple of times and then figure it out,
Yeah, no one to bounce questions off of.
Exactly. You make all the decisions yourself.
Right. All right, dude. Yeah, so let's start with the beginning. Let's start with the beginning of your season. And we're not going to talk about Luke's porch bird.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That'd be a quick story anyways. But
Right,
yeah,
quick
so
story. Luke Shepak woke up late. Him and Parker woke up late from a hangover, walked outside. There was a turkey gobbling. They called. Luke walked out with his shotgun into his front yard, shot the turkey. And that's.
basically called it up onto the front porch.
Yep.
Inch
Shot
and
it.
three quarter spurs, though. It was unbelievable.
Right? Yeah. I mean, inch and three quarter spur is. That's awesome. And that is the. That's the most frustrating hunt to somebody who has been
Just got their
grinding it
ass
out
kicked for a
for a.
week. Yeah.
Yeah, can't like turkeys either are the hardest things in the world to kill or the easiest things, and to kill one in your front yard, like, come on.
Exactly.
Basically, shoot around the trucks.
Yeah, I was like, dude, don't hit the truck. Let him clear the trucks first.
Right, and then you have, yeah, and then you have guys who grind it out for weeks and they can't get anything to happen.
No, nothing. Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
All right. So
But
anyway,
yeah, so
let's
negating
roll.
that, I mean, my season, yeah, started last Wednesday. I went out, I took my daughter out. She's coming up to 4 years old. So we went out Wednesday morning, first light kind of thing. We had some birds talking and some hens yelping and stuff, but they were pretty far, 200 yards or so
Okay.
at the closest. And she hung in there pretty decent. I was surprised. I think we lasted probably 2 hours out there, which I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But then she started getting a little crabby, a little antsy with me, so we got out of there. And then we actually went back to the same spot that afternoon, and like the same flock of birds was in there squawking away, basically. We were overlooking this like wooded valley that was private, and trying to call them up, onto some public beach
Oh,
that we were
gotcha.
on. And we did. We had a hen. She eventually she passed out, so she was sitting real still. It was nice. But we had a hen. We had a hen come in and work behind us. I mean, she came to like, I don't even know, 15, 20 yards, and she was just kind of hanging out right behind us while Emily was sleeping. And I was trying to wake her up, and she was just like dead to the world. And finally got her up, and that hen had kind of worked off by then. But
Okay.
by the time I worked or I woke her up, I had still been calling, and that hen actually came back, and she was hanging out like 30 yards, so she got to watch that hen kind of milling around behind us, and it was she was
Nice.
e eating that up. It was pretty fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, but that was Wednesday. That was probably one of the nicer weather days that we had. And then I think Thursday, Friday, it rained. Maybe it didn't Thursday, or it started late on Thursday. But I
Yeah.
didn't get out Thursday. I had to go into the office. And then Friday, yeah, I'm pretty sure it rained like the whole day. And it finally broke at like 5:30. And I left the house around 5 because I was gonna go try to roost a bird for Saturday. I was gonna make it out. And went into a new spot that I'd never been before, and actually saw quite a few birds like as soon as the rain broke.
Yeah.
I just hiked in there, basically ran into a bunch of birds, kind of had a good idea where they were roosting. And I went back there Saturday morning, and of course the gobbler that I saw was not roosted where I thought he was. He was in like this spindliest, skinniest little tree, like right on a field edge. And I had set up, I don't know, 150 yards down from him, and I was kind of on like a high ridge out in this grassy area where there
Yeah.
was a bunch of trees and brush and stuff. And he started gobbling off to my right. And I was like, man, he's got to be across this cornfield and into the neighbors. And he was hot. He was gobbling on his own every like 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he's way closer. He's like on this little point of trees. So I kind of crept down. I got on the backside of that hill and like crept over to him and popped up. I mean, I was only 60 yards away from him, and I could see him up in this tree. And I kind of belly crawled under some brush and just sat up. And I mean, if he would have flew down into that grass field, I would have been able to shoot for sure. And he was facing me the whole time, so I was like, dude, this is and it was windy as hell, and the wind was blowing
Oh,
from
okay.
me to him. So I was like, okay, maybe he'll try to fly into the wind and have a easier little land. I don't know.
Yeah,
So
like the ducks.
that's what I was banking on, and I didn't make a peep. I just sat there and watched him and listened. And finally, he stood up, and I could see him. As soon as he stood up, he was like falling all over the place on this little tiny tree. And he turned around and flew the other way. I was like, oh, of course. So
Yeah.
he hit a cornfield up there, and he was still hammering away. And I was like, okay, I can make a move on him actually. And I was gonna drop down to that woods, and the woods was lower, so I was gonna kind of use the topography to get up to that cornfield.
Are you on your, is this at the ranch on your private piece, or is
No,
this?
this is public near my house.
Okay, gotcha. All right, all right, all
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
All right, so we're running
So
around on public. Got it.
yep. And so I stood up and took like 5 steps towards that woods, and there was a bird right under the tree he was roosted in that just started running away. I was like, what the, like, was that him, or like, what, who was that? And then I'm like, well, that hun's busted. So I circled back, and I'd left my stuff at the first spot I set up. So I grabbed all my stuff, and by the time I was loading everything up, he starts gobbling out in that cornfield again. So I'm like, okay, well, he's still here, and like now I'm farther away. So then I drop down into that wooded valley, And I that's a spot I had checked out the night before, and there's like a real nice ridge that runs through that, and it's kind of open, and you could see there was turkey shit and feathers and stuff all over. I was like, okay, this is where I thought they'd be roosting. And he I don't know if he came into that woods or he was on the edge of that field, but he was basically up on the start of that ridge. And I was kind of creeping my way up to him. He was still just gobbling his head off. And I mean, this is at like 6 a.m. or maybe a little before six. And all of a sudden, boom, I kicked up two birds that were still up in the roost right on that ridge. I didn't even see him. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, okay, there was his hens, you know. But he kept gobbling and kept gobbling. So I just worked real slow up that ridge and I stopped, I don't know, probably 100 yards from him. And I think he was in the field at least at that point because he was kind of doing that back and forth, just gobbling, you know. And eventually he just worked away and then went quiet. So I was like, okay, chalk that one up as,
Did you call to him at all?
yeah, when I was in the woods, I was calling pretty good.
When was he responding or no?
Yeah, he like he'd make any kind of noise and he'd gobble at it. Like he was hot.
Did you ever get eyes on him in the field?
No, nope.
Oh.
No, I was never close enough. It was thick enough that I couldn't see the field. So I was
Gotcha.
just kind of working towards him up that ridge, basically. But
Dang.
yeah, so that was, you know,
So he just worked
bust
off. You
number one
never
and
got a.
two.
Yeah,
Yeah.
bus number two, and you worked off. You never got to look at them or nothing. Just
No, exactly. Exactly. And this was still a new spot that I hadn't really explored except that night before, which was like pretty minimal, you know. So I worked up towards that cornfield more, and then I found an old logging road with just like a big, probably a people trail, you know, that goes down it. I'm like, oh, I wish I would have known this was here. This would have been a great spot to sit, you know, windy day like that. And I ended up walking down, kind of just going slow down that logging road. And I was hearing hens yelping like off to my left that whole time. So I was just kind of trying to keep a bead on them, thinking he's either with them or going towards them. And that road came up. So it went down in this wooded valley and then came up the other side. And then there's like a, like kind of like a pine tree growth of like younger pine trees, so it's real thick and kind of grassy, some grassy openings in it. And I just got to the edge of that and I was like, okay, I should probably, you know, try to see if I can get him to gobble in case he's up in here. And at that time some hens started yelping off to my left, and I just hit the call real like some loud clucks, and he gobbled. I mean, he couldn't have been 50 yards away in those pines. I was like, in a terrible spot. I didn't have like any cover where I was, of course. So I basically just hit the ground and I was like laying prone, kind of pointing where he was. And I was like, well, if he, you know, I had like a 30-yard shot, just thinking maybe if he comes into this kind of grassy area, I could get a crack at him. And I heard him drumming a little bit for, I don't know, a couple of minutes, and then it just went quiet again. So I waited it out, probably gave him 10 or 15 minutes, and you know, tried calling a few times in there and never could get a response. I was like, okay, well, he didn't like something about that. So at that point I kept going. I was like, I'm just gonna dive deeper into this. There's like, it's the terrain out there is like, it's pretty hilly and it's like all wooded bottoms, and then the tops are these like grassy fields, kind of with sparse. They've got some, like, I don't know if it's some like prairie restoration kind of thing going on, but there's lots of like younger oak trees, you know, that are probably 15, 20 feet tall, and they're just kind of real spread out. But then
Oak
there's
Savannah.
also, yeah, exactly.
Trying to
And then there's
recreate
also
something.
just like some brushy stuff kind of scattered throughout there. So it's like, it was, I thought it was decent to kind of, you know, work through it and like feel like it wasn't fully exposed. But really wasn't getting many responses either, and it was still pretty early. But I just basically had worked through that first plantation, whatever you want to call it, and then dropped into the next wooded valley. And as soon as I dropped into that next wooded valley, I heard, had a gobble up the next plantation. So it's like, okay, that's right where I'm going. I don't know if it's the same bird, different bird, whatever, but it sounded like he was kind of heading towards some private, and there was a, I think it was a pick cornfield up on that private. So I kind of started angling towards that and
Can I
hit the
just say
fence
that
line.
this sounds like a hell of a morning.
Like, oh, dude, like I did like 4.5 miles.
Like, oh my god.
They had me dancing in circles
Just
at one point.
chasing
I didn't know
goblins.
what to do. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
And it's still early. Like the sun was maybe not even up yet, like just creeping up over the ridge, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
And so he got fired up again and was working out into that private cornfield. So I was kind of hustling, getting up to that edge, and I basically ran out of cover. And he was just over the ridge of this cornfield. I mean, 100 yards, maybe 150 yards, just hammering all on his own. I wasn't really calling to him. So I kind of tucked into some brush, and there was a gap in the fence, and that's where like the brush ended as well. I was like, well, maybe I can get him to come through this gap. So I sat up there and I started calling. Sure enough, he starts coming right towards me, and I could hear him out there drumming, and he was gobbling. And I couldn't really see it that good. Like it was brushy enough where it was like I didn't have good eyes on it.
Yeah.
But then, boom, he's gobbling. He's like 40, 50 yards. And I'm peeking through that brush, and it's like, okay, there he is. You'd see him going to strut, you know, and just kind of move through that brush. And I'm like, okay, like he's coming basically right for that gap. So I just hunkered down, and I didn't have a ton of cover, but I had like decent, and there was a lot between me and him. But I just laid down and watched him, and I'd let out some soft calls every once in a while, and he just worked his way through that cornfield and got 20 yards away, just on the other side of this brush from me, and I could see him. And all of a sudden I see his head go way up, you know, and got pretty bright red. And I'm like, oh, fuck, like he's gotta see me or something. Like he got kind of spooked. And we had a stare off. I mean, it lasted a couple of minutes at least. And finally, like he turned and just started walking the other way, and he gobbled again. So I was like, okay, he's not real spooked, but he knows something ain't quite right.
Did you have decoys out?
No, I didn't have any decoys with me.
Okay.
But
So he
so
was
he,
just, yeah, so he came over looking for some
yeah.
ladies, and he was like, "Where
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you got to come to me, lady.
are you?" Yeah.
But eventually he worked out, and where he was kind of working, I'd found a spot the night before where there in that cornfield, there's like a long strip of woods in this low bowl that comes out into it, and then the
Yeah.
cornfield wraps around back to the public, and there's like a big gap in the fence right there. And that's actually where I was thinking about sitting that morning. But so as soon as he kind of went out that point, and it was real brushy where I like felt pretty good, he couldn't see me. I just backed up and got downhill and then started trucking ass over to get to that next fence crossing. Or this is
Yeah.
like back towards where I was originally sitting, right? And I'd worked up through there, and he didn't gobble anymore after that what I could hear at least. But I got worked up to that crossing, and there's a bunch of pine trees up there, so I just tucked underneath one of them, and I had really good cover except one window basically out towards that cornfield. And I was like, well, that's probably kind of where he's gonna cross unless he crosses like farther to the right. I don't know. So I was just like, that's my shooting lane. I can work with this, you know. And I had a full pine tree back behind me. Like I felt
Yeah.
pretty decent about it. And at that time, I think it was a hunter on the private started calling up in their woods, which was probably 150 yards from me, maybe 200 yards.
Okay.
And like they were calling a lot. And I'm like, okay, like I wonder if they see him now. So I just let out a couple of soft calls and then just stopped, you know. And I think they had a box call, and they were just squawking away on that thing. And then I'm watching this field, and sure enough, I mean, I hadn't been sitting there for 5 minutes, and he pops over the hill, and he's walking right at this fence crossing, just not in strut, just walking. I'm like, oh, this is perfect, you know? And he's
Yeah.
30 yards. He's 30 yards, and now he's in that wide open spot, but he's probably 5 yards on the other side of the fence. I'm like, oh, like I can't shoot this thing, and he's in a bad spot where like he's got a wide open sight to me.
Yeah.
And you could tell he got, as soon as he kind of hit that hole, he kind of like stuck his head up again, and he got a little nervous. And I just sat there, tried to not move. And then he kind of went back into strut and actually cut back to the left, and then just kind of sat there. And I was like, well, maybe he's not too nervous. And then he came out of strut and just started walking back to the left. I'm like, oh, shit, you know? So he like went down back over that ridge, but it was towards that wooded point. But he was close to the fence, right? So I'm like, okay, like maybe he's just going to cross in that woods and like feel covered.
Yeah.
So as soon as he went out of sight, I packed up my shit and started heading towards that ridge to just try to catch him, you know, crossing the fence where it was more wooded. And he busted me. I made it about 10 yards, and all of a sudden I see him booking it out across that field. I'm like, God damn, I got a little antsy on that one. But yeah, that was about the main gobbler action of that day. I tried a couple other setups just in those savannas or whatever you want to call it. And actually at one point I'd been sitting in one spot for probably 45 minutes just calling. And I worked eventually just gave up on it and walked up to the top. And all of a sudden I saw, like, I thought it was a big possum kind of scooting through those savannas, and it was only like 30 or 40 yards away. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I got a better look at it. It was like a color phased, almost albino hen. And she'd saw me, so she was scooting out of there. And I'm like, holy shit, like, I've never seen that before, you know?
That's pretty
And
cool.
She I don't know if she was coming into my calls or what. She was heading my where I was sitting. She was kind of heading that way. I was like, oh man, that would have been a pretty sweet one to get a good look at, you know. But
Dang.
Yeah, after that, I mean I tried a couple more setups, and it was pretty windy that morning, and it got real windy about late morning. So I hadn't heard anything gobble basically since that last one where I was up by the fence line, but tried a couple other setups and basically struck out after that. So I was like, well, that was a fun one, but
but that private public land game, like that border game, dude, I hate that game. I absolutely hate that game. I try to avoid it at all costs, like, because that's what happens. They just like just stay on one side of the fence. Like,
oh, it's like they kind of know, I think. And this area, you know, I was checking it out. It was the weekend of youth season, so it was the weekend before week one.
Right.
I was checking it out, and there was birds. I saw so many birds, and I'd get out and listen early in the morning. There were gobbling everywhere. And then my wife drives that way for work every day. And she said, as soon as Wednesday hit for the first week, she's like, dude, there was six trucks out just right off the main drag, you know. And I actually tuck off the main drag. Well, it's another highway, but it's not on her way.
Right.
Like, oh, man, these things have been seeing a ton of pressure already.
Oh yeah, dude. I hate the public private land game, but then like it always brings in the like ethics. Like it always puts you on that borderline, right?
Exactly.
And it puts you in like hot water no matter what. Cause like you're sitting there and that bird's 30 yards away. He's in the opening. He's 5 yards onto private. And you know, or you think there's a private hunter over there. And you're like, well, yeah, I'm not gonna shoot him, right? But if that private hunter was there, you're like, oh man, it's only 5 yards, but I'm not gonna do it.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's just an old shitty fence. It's like, I don't even know if that's actually the line, or right? Maybe the line is 5 yards farther than
right?
That fence.
Yeah,
like
you start,
I
start
don't
telling
know.
yourself things like maybe OnX got it wrong. Maybe
exactly. Yeah, you can't trust it to the foot. It's just a guideline.
You start like questioning your ethics. And then even if you shoot him, even if he crosses and you shoot him, like the fence is the border, he crosses and he's 1 yard on the public, you boom, you smash him. And the private guy's over there and he gets up, he goes, what the hell are you doing? The fence is not the border. It's over here. I'm calling the cops. Yeah. Like it's all these, like, it just puts it into like this weird bucket.
right. Or even if you shot him 5 yards on the public side of the fence, and then the thing, you know, when he's flapping around, maybe he flaps onto the other side of the fence.
Right.
It's like, well,
dude,
I mean, now what?
Yeah, dude, I gotta exactly. And it's like for turkeys, it's one thing, right? And a lot of people aren't like, oh, you know, that's a 10-inch beard, like I ain't gonna do. But if you poke a deer, You poke 160 inch buck, five yards onto public, and it runs onto private. Like, dude, I ran into a guy shed hunting that said one of the private guy took his buck from private, and I don't know how valid this story is, but he was like, he seemed like a legit dude, and he literally said to me, he goes, yeah, dude, I have a bunch of kids, I got a wife, I got a job, and I deer hunt, and that's all I do. I don't really have many friends. I was like, you got like social media or anything? He's like, I got a Facebook. I looked him up. He had 40 friends on Facebook, and he's been a member for like 20 years. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you really don't like do anything, you know? And
this dude,
And so he's like, he's telling me, he's like, yeah, dude, I shine and it's legal to shine in Wisconsin. I shine all the time. And I find there's a couple spots that have huge bucks on them that border some private. And I shot one time and it went onto the private, and I knew the guy. So I called him. I said, hey, I shot one. It's on your land. And he, and I, again, I don't know how true this story is, but he goes, hey, that's totally cool. You can go get them. Would you mind waiting until like 9 or 10 AM? Cause I was going to hunt the morning kind of in that area. And it was like late October, and he was like, oh yeah, sure. You know, I'll come in at nine AM, 9:30. So he texts the guy at like nine, and the guy doesn't respond. So he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go in. And he hears a four wheeler coming by, and he hears a four wheeler come by, and it stops. And then you hear some loud noises, and then it drives away, and he goes onto his property and follows the blood trail right to some four wheeler tracks where there's a whole bunch of deer hair. And he's like, my deer was gone. Man. So I went over there to talk to him, and he was like, nope, I didn't see any deer.
Really?
And he's like, yeah. And he claims it was like, he showed me a shed that he found. And he's like, it's a nice shed. It's like a 160. And it was really? Like a legit, it was no bullshit, like a 160. And he goes, the buck that I shot was bigger than this one. And so he was like, yeah, but again, you invite some of these problems when you hunt, because he shot it 40 yards off the border, and he saw him on the private, and he started chasing, and he was chasing a doe around, and he chased the doe onto the public. He shot it on the public, then it ran to the private. It's like, dude, you like some of these problems. But anyway, that's a whole that's the whole problem with the public private land piece. And then you don't like that's why I said like the let's get back to your bird, because that's why I said with your bird when we were talking about it last night, I was like, dude, he's totally killable because he can't disappear onto a piece of private. He's on the public, and he's gonna be on the public, and you can get him. You can go get him. That's what I love about when there's a large expanse of public.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, this public is very large, and I've hardly even tickled the thing, basically just shed hunting and milling around and out turkey hunting. But like, one of the best spots I found for deer hunting, I think at least, is like that same thing, right? And like a piece that touches right up against the private, and it's like a big wooded bowl that, you know, transitions public to then private. And I'm like, I kind of want to go talk to that guy in advance of season and just be like, hey, like, I'm thinking about deer hunting this. I'm new to the area, blah, blah, blah. If I shoot something and it runs onto your land, like, would you have a problem with me going and getting it? Can we change phone numbers? Whatever. But like, I found his address, and I drove by, and there's big no trespassing sign, and like all these signs that say like camera surveillance. And there's a fucking like, you know, those white, like, gas station surveillance cameras?
Yeah.
Right at the entrance of his driveway, facing the entrance. I'm like, oh, God, this guy doesn't seem very friendly. Like, maybe I'll just send him a letter to start with. Like, I don't want to drive in here and be like, hey, I'm new to the area, and I want to do some hunting.
Like, he'll be like, how'd you get past my landmines?
Exactly, dude. I'm like, oh, this one, I think I got a tiptoe. But at the same time, like, I want to establish it in advance, you know? I don't want to go hunt there and then have a deer run and die on his land and then have to do it, because it's just like, that's not gonna make any good blood, you know?
No.
So we'll see. I don't know how I want to approach that one yet, but
Right. Yeah, that sounds fun.
no,
Anyway,
yeah.
all right. Turkey hunting. Back
So
to it.
yeah, that was
Well, that
Saturday.
windy day sucked.
Saturday was done, and then Saturday night it started. We got some big time severe storms down here, and that basically carried into all of Sunday. And well, that was yesterday. So it rained the whole day yesterday until I don't know, probably 6 at night or something like that, 7 at night. And we were doing some stuff around the house, and I was talking to Brenda. I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go sneak out of here for an hour. I just want to try to roost some birds, make sure I'm in a good set for tomorrow morning, you know, because we're getting down to the wire here. I got to go into the office tomorrow. Like Monday is basically my best chance." And so I'm driving out, and I was gonna go to where I hunted on Saturday. I was like, okay, I can try to pinpoint that bird again, see if, you know, see if he's doing a similar thing that he did the other day, and just kind of do a different early morning setup on him. And I got like halfway there, and I hadn't seen any vehicles out, and I'm like, God, like maybe I should just try somewhere new. And I get these dilemmas every time I'm going out. I'm like, I should just go over here. I should just try this. And I'm mad at myself because I didn't scout as much as I wanted, you know, before season started. But eventually I was like, screw it. I just drove around, checked all the parking spots, and there's like not a vehicle there. So I was like, okay, like no one else is out here doing this. And I was out at like, it was coming up to 8 o'clock. So like it was getting time, right? Like they were probably roosted by then. And I turned around and went to the spot that I've been kind of eyeing up, but like there's always been a truck there in the morning when I've driven by. I'm like, well, there's nothing here now. It's Sunday night, you know, Monday. Hopefully there's nothing there. But it's an entrance to like a really big piece that you can walk back like miles, and there's trails and stuff to get you back there. So I'm like, I wonder if people that go here, you know, go here with the mindset of they're gonna hike way the hell back. So I was like, it's actually a good spot though to just climb up on this first. There's a big hill right off the bat. And I was like, if I just climb up there and just listen, like I can hear from a lot of different directions up here. So I'm going up the hill, and I get like three quarters up, and I'm kind of peeking over this grassy ridge, and it's like, oh shit, there's a bird in a tree right on the other side of this grassy field. So I get the binos on it, and it's a hen. I'm like, okay, like not far from the truck, right? Like 400 yards from the truck. I'm like, okay, well, that's a decent sign. And I'm watching here, and boom, I hear a gobble like past her. Like, okay, like interesting, pretty close to the parking lot, but like, all right. And he was gobbling on his own, and I kind of had a decent idea where he was at. And I was like, well, I still got some time. I'm just gonna drop back down and go around and get like a 90-degree perspective on it to try to like pinpoint where he's at, you know. So I did that, and there was birds gobbling like last night. I mean, the weather broke, it was dead calm, it was pretty warm, like it was a gorgeous night, and there was birds gobbling freaking everywhere, but like pretty far away. And I'm like, okay, so like I at least have options, right? But I crept up and got a different perspective on him, and he was still gobbling away, and I literally like was able to like pinpoint exactly where he was at. I couldn't see him, but I was just kind of eyeing up on this grassy ridge, and there was no cover out there, so I didn't want to just bomb up to the top of it where I could see the wood line he was at, you know, and it sounded like he was right on the edge of the field. Like he was 300 yards away from me, but he sounded like he was like close, you know, like no obstruction between me and him. So I pinpointed it basically. I'm like, he's in this like 20-yard stretch of trees for sure. So I'm like, okay, perfect. This is what I'm doing in the morning. So I got out of there. I was texting you last night asking. I'm like, dude, I could do this a couple of different ways. Like this hen kind of throws me off. I don't know what to think of her. But anyways, went back out in the morning, had this kind of planned out. I was basically gonna do like a big J hook, essentially. I was gonna stay wide to the left of him and then take this field edge kind of loops back, and there's like this little grassy point that goes back into the woods, and he was actually on a tree line that's like farther out on that point. So I'm like, I'm just gonna do this little J, try to get in. I was like, I'm gonna try to get within 50 or 60 yards of him early in the morning. I went in early. I left, or I was walking out there at like 4:30.
Okay.
And it worked out. It worked out good. I was basically working the end of that J, and I just happened to look up in a tree right next to me, like 30 yards, and I see two blobs up against the night sky. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, there's birds right here. And I was still, 100 or 150 yards away from him. I'm like, okay, like, I don't, like, it's early enough where, like, I'm probably okay. They, like, I was pretty tight to the woods, so I was like,
and were you pretty quiet, like wet grass?
Oh yeah, it was just wet. Like, I was moving real slow, and they were still like I had my binos on them. I think they had their heads tucked like around their back or so. Like, they didn't even have their heads up. So I'm like, okay, this seems good. So I just tucked into the woods, basically right where I was at, and there was a bunch of these little, finger sized trees all over the place right there. Before it turned into like actually woods.
Yeah.
And they looked kind of leafy and brushy, like from where, when I was standing, I was like, okay, this should be all right. And I tuck in there and kind of got set up against like the biggest tree that was in there, which was, I don't know, probably eight inch diameter. I'm like,
just
well,
a monster.
I was like, this is going to be the best I have to work with.
Were you still in that? The head, like, you were J hooking in there, and basically the Tom that you were after would have been at the end of the J, and below that, like, even further south would have been the hen, and you're like mid J, mid loop on the
I'm
J,
just starting to where you'd make your little tail on the J. I'm
okay,
kind of past the loop, but I'm still like 100 yards from where I wanted to be.
Okay. And it's just like, oh, there they are. Let's just tuck in the woods here. And let's just.
I was like, I don't want to risk going underneath these damn birds, walking past them, right?
I know. So that's that's always a question, man. Is like, if I spook these two hens or these two jakes, is it going to spook the Tom? Right?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
That's always.
And it's early enough. Well, and it's early enough. It's like, I don't know that they would even fly because, like, they can't see that great. Like, like you hear, like when you kick them out of the woods in the, when you're deer hunting at night and it sounds like they're hitting every single possible tree when they're flying on, I'm like, dude, that's gotta hurt. But so I'm just like, I'm just gonna stay here and hopefully these hens just pitch down into this grass and they'll bring that gobbler this way.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
all right,
so
continue
yeah,
on.
I tuck in and I, no sooner had I sat down and it starts raining, and it's like raining. It was kind of like occasional sprinkling when I was walking in. I was like, I can deal with this, and then it started raining heavy. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. And I had my rain jacket, but it was stuffed in my fanny pack. And I was like, I can't risk, pulling that thing out and putting it on right next to these birds. So I was just like, I'm just going to take it, like, screw it. So I sat there. Yeah. And it was a quiet morning. None of those birds that I was hearing in the distance were gobbling. And I sat in the rain for 15 minutes. And then by the time it cleared, it was kind of getting that gray light, where the wood starts coming alive and little birds are tweeting all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like this is working out, I guess. This isn't bad. And those hens were still there. And they didn't seem nervous. I was watching them. But that Tom hadn't gobbled at all. My God, like, what the hell? Like, glad I came and found him last night. Like, I know he's here, but like, we just need, I'm not where I want to be, but like, maybe I can work with this if these hens cooperate, And I'm sitting there and it's probably like 5:30, and all of a sudden, boom, gobble 20 yards directly behind me. I'm like, oh,
nice.
Shit. And then I'm sitting there going, did I just completely misjudge where that bird was last night? Because it was kind of like in line with where I'd heard him the night before. I was like, maybe he was actually farther in there and he just sounded close. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't turn around. Like, I don't have enough cover. And my back, like, if they're up in the tree, they're looking down on me. I'm like, I'm very exposed to these birds. Like, there's not much that's blocking me from them, So I'm just kind of waiting and sitting as still as I can. And I can hear him drumming up in the tree every once in a while. Like, okay, like he doesn't seem like he's nervous, at least. I
Right.
mean, and then sure enough, I hear him fly down, and he basically dropped straight down out of the tree. So he's like just over this berm kind of behind me, and he gobbles down in the woods. I'm like, okay. He's like
All
right
right.
here, you know? And these hens
So it's
really hadn't done
possible that,
anything.
so it's at this point, it's possible that there's a turkey behind you at 20 yards on the ground. There's those two hens are still up in that tree, and there could be another tom 100 yards away. Okay.
But shortly after they dropped down, that tom that I was had heard last night gobbled. And I
Okay. So he's definite there.
At first I'm like, God, did that, like, was the bird that dropped down behind me, did he just scoot out to the end of that woods, like, to get away from me? Like, I was kind of like, maybe he busted me, you know,
Yeah.
early. And I'm like, ah, oh, man, no, I don't know. And then those hens started clucking and purring and yelping and doing their thing, and they got pretty noisy. I'm like, okay. And then that bird right behind me gobbled again, and he was like right there. I'm like, okay, so
Ah, okay.
there's multiple gobblers in here, and they're like, now I
Nice.
feel like I'm in a pretty good spot. I'm kind of in the middle of all this, you know? It's like, as long as these hens don't fly the opposite direction, like, kind of like where this is going, you know? And I think that other bird had gobbled a couple times then, the farther one.
Okay.
And the hens were yelping and squawking and doing their thing, and then the hens pitched out of the tree, and they flew right over that grass field, like to the other side of the grass field, kind of where I walked in from. I'm like, okay, like
So
that's
how far
actually
did they
good,
fly?
probably 100, 150 yards,
Oh,
like
geez. Okay.
up and over the top of
Yeah.
that grassy ridge and onto the
So they are
backside of
like
it.
basically out of play.
Oh, they're completely out of play. And then I'm like, well,
Okay.
they're probably going to take that far gobbler out of play. But I got this one right next to me that is going to have to walk right by me to get to those hens. So I was like,
Yeah.
okay. So as soon as those hens flew, then I could kind of hear that gobbler walking down in the woods right behind me. And I had my gun out facing into the field, but I had like a 2-inch diameter tree kind of up on my left leg where like I couldn't just swing and shoot the wood line to my left.
Okay.
So I'm like, fuck, like that's where they're going to be popping out here. So I'm like squirting my gun back, like under my armpit, you know, to try to get the
Yeah.
barrel back behind this little tree. And about the time I just cleared that tree, I could see bright white head, you know, coming through the woods and like 10 or 12 yards. I'm like, fuck, like, okay,
He's
he's right here.
here.
And I'm just slowly now kind of trying to get my gun back up and like to the left. And he's coming out towards the field. And like, I don't know what he was walking through. Like, I was looking for a trail when I later on, and like, I couldn't find anything. He was basically bushwhacking through this shit.
Huh.
And he's still kind of like angling at me, like coming closer. And then finally, like, I just about had my gun like where I could shoulder it. And he like was just getting to the field edge at the same time, so I basically just cocked the hammer back and pulled up and shot. And he was 8 steps away. I mean, just like I had my little 410 with me, so it was pretty cool to get him that close,
Oh,
honestly.
man. I know
But
I texted you last night. I was like, sounds like a good day for a 12 gauge. And you're like, I only have my 410.
yeah, all my other guns are not at our house right now. I was like, this is literally my only option.
Dude. So when
But
you and when you did you, I mean, you kind of like for anybody seeing this podcast, Parker kind of made a motion like he like swung his gun just a little bit. Like when you cocked it, did he pop his head like he was gonna run?
he was getting nervous at that point. Like, he had that nice white head coming through the woods, you know, and about, you
Yeah.
know, he was a step or two from the field edge, and it kind of got red and dark. And I'm like, okay, like, he's close enough. Even if he starts running, like, I'm still gonna get a shot. And like,
Still gonna
the only
send
thing that
one.
would screw me is if he just flies. But even then, like, I'm probably still gonna shoot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I let him have it right there. And actually, when right after I shot, he had another Tom with him that just went tearing out into the field that I didn't even know was with him. And he ran up and over that ridge, and I started just having fun with the mouth call, you know, just plucking,
Yeah.
clucking and purring and trying to just screw with that bird. And I'm sitting there and my bird starts flopping around, you know, and that bird came running back over the ridge back towards the bird I shot. And he got like 30 yards away, like he was gonna attack the thing, you know, and then he finally freaked out again and then turned around and
Ran
ran away
away.
again. Like,
Oh my
oh, that was sweet. That was sweet. So yeah, it was 5:50 this morning. Got her done.
Oh, I know. And you were like texting me last night and you're like, well, I got to be done by 8 a.m. And I'm like, well, you got an hour to be super or 2 hours to be super aggressive, right? And just
Exactly.
get after it.
Exactly.
And that's kind of
Yep.
in my, I enjoy that because it's you can't make a wrong move when you're limited on time because you always have the excuses like, well, if I didn't make the move, like I wouldn't have,
Yep.
I didn't have the time anyway. So whatever, it doesn't matter,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, dude, that's hilarious that he popped
Yeah.
out and it was a bird that you never knew and you just got set up.
Nope.
That's, I feel like that's one of the huge advantages. I tend to get out, I drop my kids off at daycare and then I go hunt. So I get in the woods at
Yeah.
like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Sometimes like the other day when I shot mine, I was in the woods by at 7, but
Yeah.
like, I don't go out in the dark anymore, but that's one of the huge advantages to going out in the dark is you can get set up and you can like, you can bump into them like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh yeah, if it would have been, I mean, if I would have been 15 or 20 minutes later, like it went to, like they would have been able to see me easy enough, I
Right.
think. Like when it's just kind of cracking gray light, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it ended up working out pretty good. I mean, got lucky as hell, but
With the old
not
410.
complaining. Yeah. I wasn't
Of
gonna be picky
course.
this morning either. If any little Jaker that wanted to pop out, he would have been in trouble too.
It's when you when you're not picky, you can't find a Jake. And when you are
Oh,
picky,
dude.
they're everywhere.
That was my mindset Saturday. I was like, man, I saw so many birds back in here Friday night. It's like some of them had to be Jakes, and like the things
Yeah.
can be pretty dumb, you know. I was like, worst case, I'm gonna stumble upon a Jake back in here. Never even saw
Right, because they group up. There's like eight of them together, and you're like, all right, I'm either in the Jakes or I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got one. I'm glad you got one down and the old spot and stalk, no decoys, no call, and no nothing. Just like
Yep.
locate, get on them, sit down, see what happens. And I think like I really the more I've turkey hunting, the more I just do spot and stalk type stuff.
Yeah.
Patience. I think the patience game is like 20 to 30 minutes is like
Yeah.
that's like the top end. Any longer than
Yep.
that, like your odds go down. It's still possible. Like you could wait 2 hours and then, but is that even the same bird? Is that even the same? Like, you know, I feel like if
Exactly.
in your situation, like sit down, see if the hens, because if those tom, if that bird behind you wasn't there and those hens flew 150 yards over, like I would be getting up, I would wait 10 minutes, whatever, and I'd be getting up and I'd be trying to go locate the bird that you originally thought was there, right?
Yep.
Is he
Yep.
gonna go up and over that ridge? And if so, how am I gonna get over to that other side now?
Yeah,
Right? That's what I would be
exactly.
planning.
Exactly.
And
Yeah,
then
yeah. And that's been like my mindset with hunting this public is a little different too. Like when I'm hunting private, I can usually be a little more patient. Like I don't mind sitting in a spot for a couple hours and just doing some occasional calling, you know.
yeah.
But like hunting this public, I feel like every after fly down, like every gobble you can get is like precious, right? So it's like if I hear a gobble and it's 300 yards away, like I'm moving and I'm going
Yeah.
and I'm going to try to make a play on it because he might gobble once and that's it. He might gobble 10 times, like you just don't know. So I'm like, if I can locate a bird, I'm making a move on him. I'm not going to sit here and hope to call him in, especially if they're getting
Dude,
a lot of pressure and they're just not working the call very well, you know.
100%, man. I am. I mean, you've hunted. I mean, I'm the last time we hunted together for turkeys was when I had my bow and we had like what, six opportunities in a day just running birds around on the public by my house. And we I feel like when you are on public, and you hear that gobble, you got to go chase it. Cause there's only two ways. Like you really find them. Like I just haven't, I'm not a good caller and I haven't had luck calling them. And then they like come, and if they see the decoys, sometimes they'll kind of come in. Sometimes they'll skirt them. They'll be like, ah, I don't know, you know? So yeah. I rather just run and gun them and chase them down. And there's only two ways you can really chase them down is if you can see them, which if you're not hunting fields and you're hunting woods, it makes it real difficult, or you got to hear them.
They're very hard.
So like for me, it's you hear them, you either see them from the road or you have an idea of where they're going to be, which I've been hunting this piece for like 7 years now. So I have an idea of where they're going to be. Once I get in there, I just hang out for a while and I hear them. If I hear them, I can go attack them. If I can't, I got to sit and wait and be patient until I see one, or I got to go check fields until I see them and then make my move. Like otherwise for me, just putting two decoys up and just hanging out, like that's something for me and Charlie to do. But even then, like Charlie doesn't like doing that. He's we're there for the kid, my 5-year old son's like, no, let's go. I heard a gobble. I heard him. Let's go look over here. Let's go look over there.
Yeah.
I mean, all he wants to do is look for worms and millipedes and do his thing. Right. And I'm just like, well, that's not sitting here calling in a blind is not conducive to that.
Right. It gets boring for them.
Right. Real fast. Yeah. That's So anyway, it's that makes it tough. But what are your thoughts? This is one I haven't really run into this yet, but I imagine at some point I will. Which is I'm running into like with public land, you're on public land, so you don't know where other people are. You don't know like what they're doing or anything, and you're running around on public. I feel like at some point I'm going to bust someone else's like set. I haven't done it yet. I generally, based on hunting the same piece for 7 years, people tend to set their decoys up in the exact same spots all the time. Like it's like this corner of this field, people like to hunt that. It's this corner of that one. It's this little spot over here. So I try to avoid those as much as I can. And because I do roll in at 7:30 in the morning or 7 a.m., everybody's already parked. So I know generally where people are going to be. Based on you parking here, you're probably hunting this. I haven't really run into but with you hunting a brand new piece, like, and you don't maybe you don't know where all the parking lots are, and you don't know all the other, like, kind of mentality of all the other hunters, like, running and gunning. Not that I don't think it's, like, dangerous, because I... as long as you're like walking down the middle of the trail or whatever, and it's like, you're not being a doorknob. I don't think you're going to get shot, but I do think like at some point I could come across, like I could pop up in a corner and be like, oh, there's a guy. Sorry. My bad. You're already here.
I mean, you know, if that happens, that's about all you can do. Right. It's like, dude, we're all out here in camo making turkey calls. Like, my bad if I stumbled into your set, but like that's part of it, you know. The same thing could happen to you. So it's like, yeah, and that's where like I'm a little opposite, right? Like I like getting there real early, so it's like if I get to a spot and there's a vehicle there, I'm probably just gonna go to another spot. But if the opposite happened to me, if I'm there first and someone else came in after me and I didn't even know it, and then you start running and gunning and you bump into them, it's kind of like, oh, dude, like, my bad.
It is what it is.
Good luck, guys. I'm going to make a loop around you. Like, I'm going to try to be as, like, unintrusive as I can, even though I'm standing 50 yards away from you guys. Like, hope I didn't screw everything up for you, but didn't know you were here.
Right? Yeah. Maybe it's like, maybe you could compare it to when if you're out gun hunting on public and someone decides to do like a drive and they're just like walking through the woods and you're like, oh Jesus, I got caught up in a drive. Right. And is that good or bad?
That would be a little scarier, I think.
Right. It totally would be. But yeah, it's like, how do people feel about that? And again, like I said, I haven't run into any, I ran into one guy one time. And it was at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hey, I literally popped up over a berm And we, I didn't, I was hearing gobbles way off in the distance. And so I was like trying to go like maybe 300-400 yards. I popped up over a berm and there was a guy there. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, hey, sorry. Like, and he was only 20 yards away. And he was like, oh, no, it's cool. I'm about to leave. Good luck. See you later. You know?
Oh, nice.
And he just left. Like he was already like, well, I don't know. I dropped down, but then I went to go around him, I could see him walking through the woods again. So I was like, okay, he is leaving. But like so many people leave at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. that like
Oh,
if I
yeah, for
really
sure.
start if I get out there, and maybe I am like not giving myself enough credit, because like I said, it can generally tell you where people are going to set up. Like it's all the prime looking spots, and they're going to set up two decoys or three decoys. And dude, I saw one dude, I swear he was like going on a 10-day backpack hunt. He had his blind on his back. He had like three or four decoys. He had a backpack. He had his gun. He had something else in his hand. I imagine it was his chair. Like he just loaded to the nines, and he went and set that thing up
Dude.
out on public. And I was like, proud of you, man. Good
That's how
for
I
you.
feel sometimes. It's like even when I don't take in decoys, I just feel like I have so much shit. Where it's like that's most of the time the decision why I don't bring decoys. Like, dude, I just don't want to lug the damn things in there. It's like I got enough shit on me
Right.
already. And that's like yeah, I think they'd be great for that first morning setup, but then once you start running and gunning, it's just more shit you gotta hang with you. It's like
Yeah.
there's a lot of times I'll because I like bringing in, we got those little pop-up chairs that sit real
Yeah.
low, and I do like having that thing. But if I start running and gunning, it's like I'm ditching that. Sometimes I'm ditching my fanny pack. It's like,
Right.
dude, I'm bringing my call and my gun, and that is it. And I'm gonna come
Right.
back and pick
Yeah.
this shit up later.
So, and that's how, like, so I killed my bird on a public private land boundary scenario. I went to drop my kids off at daycare. And I see these birds every morning, and they're always on private. And I never hunt them because they just hang out on private. And I came back and they were headed towards the public. So I was like, well, I'll give it an hour. I'll go chase them for an hour. If they run back to the private, I'm done. So I parked the truck, hopped out with just my gun. That's it. My gun and my camo. The only thing I really wish I would have had was my binos, because I forgot them, but they are so handy in run and gun scenarios. So then I hopped out and I went out in the woods, and they were working out of an ag field into like a public swampy area. And I knew the area because I deer hunted it. And so I worked through the woods and I made it out to like this big swampy area where there are a couple down cottonwoods, but it was wide open. And I looked out towards that private ag field and I saw them in that wide open swampy stuff. And it was probably like, whatever, a foot and a half tall at that point. So I was like, okay, they're still there and they're still working. They are on the border of public and private right now, on one side. And the other side, like they could go south 100 yards and then still be on the border of public and private, but they could go east like 30 yards and be in a public. So basically they could cross public and still be in public for a long ways. So I was like, okay, I'm set here. And the private is owned by a company. It's not owned by a person. It's owned by a company that they own hundreds of acres around the area. So anyway, I went out and I was like, all right, they're still there. I'm gonna go hop in this cottonwood. And I did. And I could see them in the cottonwood, and they kind of crossed behind some brush. So I went up and jumped to another cottonwood. And at that point, I was, 150 yards closer to them. And I jumped a hen that I had no idea was there. And she went running back to the group. So I was like, shit, maybe I busted that up. But then I sat there and waited about 15, 20 minutes, and a tom came from the private into the public, and I watched him, and he was well into the public. He was just coming right on in. And he was probably, 100 yards from the border, and he was coming right to me. And so I was like, all right, but between me and him, there was wide open swamp for like, I don't know, 60, 70 yards. And then there was some dogwood or some red brush right there. And I was like, okay, so basically
Were
he's
you
gonna,
calling
I
at
gotta
all
get
or
him.
just moving to him?
I was just moving to him. I didn't call at all. Yeah. I didn't have any decoys or anything. So I was like, I think he's going to get in that bread brush and then come back out into the open swampy area and come through this open area. So I waited for a while. He didn't show up. And then I looked, peeked again. And those other two toms, I waited for like 10, 15 minutes in that, and he gobbled, and I heard some hens in that red brush. So I was like, okay, they're kind of in that red brush. And I don't know, like they're in it there. It's not like, I don't know. It's not very open. They're actually like in this red brush running around. So then, or the dog, they're in the dogwood, I should say. So then I saw the other two toms start coming in too. And I was like, okay, so now basically everyone's moving into this red brush. And so I sat there for 20 minutes and I didn't see them, didn't hear them, nothing. And I was like, all right, I'm still there, whatever. So I stand up to like verify. And this whole time I'm basically on my hands and knees, like tucked into this dead cottonwood. And I stand up and I see a tail fan in the red brush at like 50 yards. I was like, okay, all right, they're still there. So I dump back down and I waited 5-10 minutes, peek again, and they're gone. And I can't see anything. I can't see a single turkey. So I was like, all right, between me and this red brush, there's a 60-yard gap. And on the other side of that red brush, there are very likely turkeys because they didn't make it out to the ag field and they're not in the woods. They're somewhere in here. So I just put that patch of red brush between me and them and just ran to it as fast as I could. And this is where I was saying to you last night, I was like, I don't think noise necessarily matters so much because I was slopping through the swamp. Like, I was you know, a few inches of water and I was hauling through there. I just got to the edge of the red brush, dropped down. And I just started peeking around it and boom, there were the two toms at like 80 yards on the other side of this brush. And they were the only thing I could see. Basically they then worked back to the private and I was able to swing around the backside of this red brush and keep the red brush between me and them. And I was crawling to it. And from where I originally saw him at 80 yards, I closed that gap to about, 25, 30 yards. And I was on the very end of this red brush. Like I couldn't go any further. And now rather than being at that spot that was, at 80 yards where I initially saw him, they were back to my west about 60, 70 yards, but now they're back on the private. So I was like, shit. Yeah. Shit. Like, are they going to come back? Are they not going to come back? Well, this is my best chance. And they started to work. I waited there for 10 minutes and they worked their way back just all on their own. Didn't call them or anything. They worked their way back right to me, came in, got to 25 yards. One of the toms folded up, big old redhead, popped his head up. And at that point, I basically swung on him and shot him and knocked him down. So that That was my hunt, but I will say, and that was really, it was fun. It was all spot and stalk. Took me about 45 minutes from the time I left my truck to the time I killed them. And it was just kind of patience mixed. Like, it's just like knowing when to make your move, right? Like that's what it's about is like how you can, when you can be aggressive and when you can't. But I would like to say, I know both of us have to hop here before we wrap up. I did have another encounter with a tom that was just hammering in a swampy area. And I had worked my way into this. This was a different morning. And this is a huge mess up that I made that if anyone's listening, like this is definitely keep this in mind. Okay. Cause this is, I killed the bird that I did because I was patient. I took my time. I didn't assume the birds had left, you know, like always assume that bird is still there until you confirm that they leave, or don't move until you know where that bird is, until you have a good idea of where that bird is. Because I had worked the other morning, dropped the kids off and went back out. And I knew there were like some birds in this swampy area and I knew people didn't hunt it. I've never hunted it. I've never seen any other hunters in there. It's just not an easy spot to get to. So I made my way into it and I got into it. And it's just a whole bunch of like basically dead elms and 2 inches of water. And it's just tall grass everywhere. It'll be a disaster in a couple of weeks. Like I won't go in there, but I get into this area and it's probably like, I don't know, 30-acre patch. And I'm like, all right, there should be a gobbler in here. And boom, he hammers off and he hammers three times in a row and he's at 100 yards. And up in front of me, is a down tree with a big old root ball. And that was at like 60 yards. So I just, and he was in this brush, and I ran to that root ball, stopped, got set up, and he just, and I was like, all right, he's coming. Like, I just got to wait for him to get past. Like, and I was tucked up into this root ball. I couldn't see much, but I knew he was there, obviously. And then it got quiet for a couple minutes, and I had my gun up, and it got quiet for a couple minutes, and I was ready to kill him when he stepped out into this little area. And all of a sudden he gobbled. I was expecting him to come to my left, and he gobbled off to my right. So I was like, shit, he's like moving away kind of from me. And I looked around, and there were all these dead trees. And I was like, man, he can't come within 50 yards without jumping over all these dead trees if he's going that way. Let me try to put my decoys out. Maybe he will come around and come to them. Mm-hmm. And without thinking, I was like, I just got to get my decoys out. And I was not being patient. If I just would have been patient and waited and watched, I should have seen where this turkey was. I heard him, but yeah. Dude, I swear to you, he was at like 50 yards. I go to put these decoys out, and I grab the decoy and I go to stick it in the ground, and I look over 20 yards right there. Just, and he's just looking at me. Like, if I would have just peeked first with my gun and just taken a moment and just like figured out exactly where he was when he was that close. And I was behind the root ball. I had perfect camouflage because he couldn't see me at all. Yeah, I just needed to peek and understand where he was. And I feel like he was gobbling away from me, so it made it sound further. But man, I went to put my decoy out. There he was, and there he was gone. And he just ran right out of my life. And I was like, why didn't I be more patient? Why did I freak out and go, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Do I call? Do I set out my decoys? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I just should have been patient. They don't move that fast. Like when they're calm and when they're doing their thing, they're not moving that fast. I mean, how many times have you watched a turkey for 30 minutes stand in the exact same spot?
Never.
And do nothing?
Never. Right.
Right. I mean, they're always kind of like moving a little bit, but they are also, they're not fast. They're not running around. Right. They're just like slowly making their way. And all I would have had to do was let him come. I just would have had to peek my gun, and I would have killed him. But anyway, all right. I know we both got to run. Congratulations on the bird, Parker. Appreciate
Thank
the time.
Sir. Congrats to you.
Yeah. And I will bring the kiddos out soon for a bluegill catch and fry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're thick. We got these little, what are they called? I call them algae busters out there. They're trying out some, it's like a sonar, whatever, ultrasonic kind of deal that's supposed to keep the algae down. And after all this, we got all this rain that helped that as well. But the lake's looking really good right now.
All right. So, it's not that weird blue, Gatorade blue color.
Nope. Well, it's kind of a Gatorade green.
just a little bit.
Yeah. But at least there was a lot of like floating algae scum earlier in the year. Now all that stuff's gone. So
nice.
Hopefully it stays like that. Yeah, they should be moving up into this warm water here pretty soon.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Really appreciate your time. If you guys like the podcast, please like, subscribe. If you're feeling so inclined, leave a review. And of course, as always, tell a friend if you really like it. That's the best way that the podcast travels. Thanks again, Parker. I'll catch up with you soon, man.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
All right. Later, buddy.